Good morning, everybody. How's everybody? What you know good? I was listening to a sermon the other day where a Scottish man was just railing, I mean absolutely railing, on worship leaders. So so he comes up and he's got all this energy and he says, "How do you feel?" "Well, I didn't feel particularly good. And so don't ask me how I feel. I got nothing. I got nothing for you, man." And he just commenced to absolutely shredding this poor worship leader. And I imagine somewhere this high energy, powerful, light, smoke lad facility. And it sounded probably a little bit like Kiss in Detroit. "Good morning, Detroit. Are you ready to rock?" But it was not. I mean, I'm sure that worship leader was absolutely doing the best he could. And I didn't want the camera at that moment to be on that sermon. I would rather have seen the relationship between that guy and that poor worship leader that had just gotten off the stage. I kept thinking to myself, that's got to be a little tense. Because he's got to go up and say things that sound sometimes contradictory. Your worship is powerful, and it's purposeful and driven. And a lot of times when you're trying to talk about it, you're saying things that are very emotional. But we train our minds, and then we train our hearts to follow our mind. We're not doing this out of random shot in the dark. We actually have learned and believe what we're saying. And I am unashamed about it. And so I was just thumbing through, thinking about what I was going to say today, and just happened across this little verse, Psalm 29. "Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness." Didn't say, you'll note here, it didn't say, "Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness." It said, "In holiness." See, his holiness is axiomatic. It goes without saying. His holiness is. Otherwise, we wouldn't be talking about God. We'd be talking about something else, an idol or something. But his holiness is. So if you are to worship in holiness, you are actually in that place with God, where he wants to be, in his thinking, loving what he loves, hating what he hates. If you can't imagine what that must feel like, that they make rules for you. They set it out. They make charts for you. It's really weird. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy." Mathematically speaking, that makes it terribly simple. You can take the steal, kill, and destroy, insert action, put a jot by it. Well, that's a sin. Because it steals. Well, that's a sin because it kills. And ultimately, we live our lives in relationships with people. That guy, he has to weigh everything he says there on that behind that pulpit against how much damage he's going to do to that poor worship leader. But ultimately, he wants the truth to reign. He wants that truth to be there no matter what. Even if it's going to not quite perfectly fit with what the worship leader says. Because the worship leader has a tough job. I just come up here and read. All you can test what I say. Just make sure it says the same thing here. That worship leader has to make you feel good. And a lot of times we're confronted with things that and sins and actions and choices that don't feel good, and there's nothing that's ever going to make it feel good. It's just not ever going to feel good. See, Joseph just buried his dad. This is Joseph in the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat Joseph. Now, he buried his dad, and the brothers understandably think, "Oh my goodness, he's only been nice to us because he loved dad. And now we're in for it." So they write him a letter and they said, "Hey," and they say, "Your sister's son's cousin's 34th. They didn't say your brothers. Please forgive your brothers. That would have been pretty straightforward. Hey, we're sorry. Forgive your brothers for what we did, because it was wrong. They said, the faithful servants of the God of your father, please forgive them. And ultimately, Joseph wept. Joseph was hurt. Come on, man. I love you guys. But he couldn't, the hurt was still there. You felt it because he said straight up, what you did, you meant for evil. But God meant it for good. And in this way, we were given life. I was able to save the life of many. And God did that in all authority. So we ascribe to the Lord glory and strength and all the glory that is due His name, and worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. We forget that in John 10, it says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Another translation says, in the full. You see, life, if you could just translate it, every time you read life, just remember holiness. And every time you think of death, think of sin. And if you can have it in fullness, if you can live there, if you can be with Christ, you can know the Father. I mean, that's the goal, knowing the Father. We go through life and we're not even aware of the sins we do. The things we can destroy, the things we mess up. And sometimes you're painfully aware. But you have to come to grips with the fact that ultimately it's up to God. Place your trust in Him. Place your faith in God. And you can know peace now. It doesn't say later. It says you can know peace now. You will know life. And they mean that both literal life and holy life in the full. All right? I'm just going to be short today. This was last minute. But I want to you guys to think about this. When we come out here, we're actually trying to live life in the full. And we want to share that with you. And we want you guys to share that with us. All right? Dear Father, please put your hand over us here today. There are people that are hurting. There are people that are feeling pain, and a lot of times you never know what's really going on in a person's heart. They are desperate, and we beg your mercy and forgiveness. We beg your conviction fall on us and us to be aware of you and for us to be able to know you. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.